on a blog radio station.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, blog radio listeners, and welcome to the men's edition of Mornings at the Mansion. The 22nd, I'm pretty sure, January. Thank you for tuning in. God bless y'all. What's going on, Pastor Bobby?
Oh, man, not much. It's been a while, huh?
Yeah, it seems longer, but, you know, it's been 2 weeks. You know, 1 week was about a personal mishap with my phone. The second week was due to the weather. If anyone is not aware, but here in Texas, you know, right here in the studio, we were snowed in for a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's a really cold weather.
Snowpocalypse is what they would call it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, just, I guess, the way people react to this stuff. And to me, I wasn't stuck. I was out there. I was doing what I can do. You know, yeah, I was eating, you know, from the gas station, you know, grill for 3 days straight. That's about it. Good morning, Sean Spriggs. How's it going in Long Island, New York?
Yeah, it's a morning, Sean.
Good morning. See, the thing is I think I realized over this last couple of days, it's all what you make of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all dealing with the same situation, but some people were really, really, really messed up. And I'm not going to say, we're all in the same position physically, where it was cold, it was snowing, wet, and some of us didn't have light, some of us didn't have heat. But we definitely were in the same situation emotionally, mentally, and in the heart, you know?
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, we were out everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, Shane. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, it was, I'll tell you one thing, today, I know yesterday it hit 74, and there's no more snow. There's not even evidence of us just being one of the worst situations in Texas in the last, I don't know, they said since 1905 maybe or something. But it's been a long time. We were literally down to below zero with wind chill. We were definitely, there was no gasoline in most gas stations. There was no power in most areas. There was no restaurants open. You know,
yeah.
It was definitely a 1-2, things like a combo. 1-2-3, you know. No gas, no electric, no heat, and just can't get around.
Yeah, now we can go to the beach.
Yeah, that was,
you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
You know what, we're talking about unity today. And it was just so cool, though, that, you know, seeing all the different ministries coming together, you know, James Bellman, shelter down there, I think it was Gary.
Yeah, Gary,
what's that ministry?
Gary Mitchell, that's onewelove.org.
One We Love ministry coming together.
Compassion.
Here's one of the funniest things that happened was whenever there's a church in Burleson called the Open Door Church. And I just got so tickled because they opened their doors and let people come in there to spend the night. And I was thinking to myself, when you name your church Open Door Church, you better open them doors. And they did. But it was cool. And, you know, and then there was churches like my son's church. They were giving away water, and it was water and food. But Life Fellowship in church, with Pastor Mike, they were giving away food and water. The Lifestyle, Todd White, their church was giving away food and water. Mercy Culture giving away food. I mean, it was just, you know, these ministers coming together and being the church. It was so cool.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. You know, we don't say, obviously, we don't sit around waiting for it, but when it does come before us, we have to spring into action. You know,
yeah.
and that's evident in the Bible. Jesus was going from town to town, and he always found time in between when people approached him. It wasn't planned. It wasn't, you know, something he put his lips to. He might have known they were coming, but it was like the lady with blood. You know, she just showed up, you know, as Jesus was walking through. So we always have to make time to deal with the things that are right in front of us. And that goes for anything. Even witnessing, you're in Walmart, you just want to, you know, whatever you get, I don't know, shampoo. When you're on the line, you see someone, you got to see, and if God puts on your heart to turn around, and right there, right now, you're a willing vessel, God will use you, and you can lead someone to the Lord.
And we're going to get into this in a scripture that we're going to read today, but anybody that's born again, if you are born again, child of God, you have a ministry. And like I said, we're going to get into that. And it's an everyday ministry. It's not just on Sunday.
No.
It's every single day. Your life is a ministry.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Renee Mars.
Good morning, Renee.
Well, here's the thing. You know, you got to be a willing vessel. And I heard the guy say, there was a song yesterday in the church we were at when it was singing, I'm your vessel or something, whatever. And it just came to my mind. The Lord used us as a vessel. He wants to fill us up. And not only does he want to fill us up, but he wants to fill us up to the point where we're pouring out onto others. Now, if we're caught up in, our vessel is filled with our junk, God can't pour much into us. Vessel.
And nobody else wants it either.
You know, if this is full, if it's full of all my stuff, my ideas, my plans, God can't, there's no room for God. There's a little bit at the top. I might give a little thing from God. But here's the thing. We have to completely empty ourselves out. And God could use us as a vessel of honor.
Yeah.
When we come half full with our junk, that we might be a vessel of common use.
Yeah, and the thing that just really, you know, because people say, well, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be Christ-like. Jesus said, Father, not my will, but your will be done.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, when we get that in our heart and we get that in our spirit, that's how we want to be. You know, not my will, Father, but your will be done.
Yeah.
And that's emptying ourselves.
Yeah.
We empty ourselves. And it's a daily. I mean, that's what picking up our cross daily, what that means is we daily die to ourselves.
Yeah. We're constantly a willing vessel. He looks for God and he's used in a mighty way, but a willful vessel. You gotta be careful. And I'm talking from experience here. I was on both sides. I was a willful vessel for God, where I thought my will, what I wanted, God bless my plan. Now, once I got rid of my plan, and I said, Lord, now what do you want me to do? He showed me, and then all of a sudden things started happening. I saw much fruit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't just I didn't just look good on Facebook on camera. You know, it was actually I saw the fruit of the labor the Lord was working through me, in me and through me. So
yeah.
That's how it works. But yeah. And I praise the Lord for everything he's done. I praise the Lord for the unity that I've seen and I witnessed. Because we've been speaking about unity. This is what God put on my heart. It's so critical. We're going to demonstrate today how critical it is in Scripture. But let me tell you, I've seen people come together.
Oh, yeah.
In time of crisis, in time of some people with desperate need, I've seen people come together, ministries, people just pulling around and not just getting involved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
I know.
It's awesome to see. And, you know, it's meets the road.
Yeah.
You know, when something like last week happened, and, you know, we're not used to it. Like, we lost electricity and my house got down to 40 degrees. And in reality, 40 degrees is cold, but it's survivable.
You know
what I mean? We could have survived in that. But we are definitely living in a spoiled nation, which we just need to be thankful for, because God has blessed this nation. And when we turn back to him, you know, if my people who are called by my name will seek my face, humble themselves, pray in ways, and he will hear from heaven, you know. And that's where the unity, that's what he wants to see too. You know, we're going to be talking about that unity. And if he's, you know, it's a unity in the body. You know, we're a family. When we're born from above, we're born from God.
Yes.
You know, he becomes our father, and we're going to talk about all that. So I'm going to
go into Second Scripture.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
But. Yeah, but it's important. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that the people that are watching, they will see the thing that you want to show them, Lord.
Yes.
Not just what we're trying to talk about, Lord, but what you want them to see, Lord. Not just their physical and natural ears and eyes, but their spiritual ears and eyes. I pray that it open up wide, Lord, that you take control of this room and our tongues.
Jesus,
and then
right,
this
yes.
message, this we can't serve, but you will bring the message, Lord. And I thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord.
In
Jesus'
name.
Right,
amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. See, the thing with unity last week was the devil's plan for this, for tearing us apart the last time. So this one is the plan, God's plan for unity for. But this one is more geared towards it's unity at the cross. And here's the thing. When we talk about unity, I can't stand that person, or I don't get along with that person, or he's a Giant fan, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. It just won't work. Here's the thing. It don't matter. There's nothing outside. Here's where we all start. That Jesus Christ died on the cross to clear the sin out of the way. He took away our sin, but most importantly, that sin was blocking us from God, because sin separates us from God. Once the sin was out of the way, he became the ultimate sacrifice. It tore down the wall that separates us from God. Now we have the opportunity to come to God, repent, and accept his grace, and walk according to his ways with a new spirit and a new heart. And this is what it says in the Bible. We're going to talk about it, because everyone says, Well, God took away my sin. Yeah, he took away your sin. Now what are you going to do about it? Right? Yeah,
you know, something just, I mean, the Lord just put something on my heart out of nowhere. But it's like if there's a family, you know, I've heard of couples who adopt several children. And if they adopt several children and there's one child in there who does nothing but cause disruption and division in that family, you know, it's, and that's what it's kind of like. You know, we're now adopted into the family of God. So we have to understand that we are now brothers and sisters. You know, God's our Father. We have, and the common bond is the cross.
Well, yeah, that's the price that Jesus paid at the cross for us. And what we don't, we'll never truly understand it in the natural. I assure you the love that was shed at the sacrifice. I mean, we don't even know. But I'll tell you one thing. It is such a huge factor in our faith that we believe that Christ died at the cross, rose again on the third day. He took the keys from hell away from the devil. He satisfied the law by being the only one in the flesh ever, God in the flesh, to fulfill the law. And that's the thing what it is. So now we don't have the law, but we have faith. We're redeemed by faith in Christ, but we have to walk according to faith. And the faith is not just right or wrong. The faith, once we fill our heart with his faith and the heart is filled with the love of God, we're not, see, that's the thing. We're too sin conscious when we need to be more God conscious, not the sin, but what Jesus Christ done for us at the cross about the sin. And when that comes in our heart and floods us, we're not even going to be thinking about sin.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. Paul said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. And Jesus, what he said about, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. That's what it is. It's not about being sin conscious, because when you abide in him, your desires change. And that's why everything that you desire will be done, because your desires line up with his.
Yeah,
so you're not sin conscious.
And I've seen it a lot this week, too, with a lot of people. And again, I'm not here to brag or put down anyone. I'm here to say that God is good. And these works that we do, going into the street, helping people, leading people. Well, let me tell you something. The first thing is leading people, Lord. That's when you know that truly the love of God is in your heart and the faith is risen up. Because you're willing to stop and tell people about God. Okay? The sandwich and all that stuff, that's great. But we need to let people know about God. And we're going to still show us in Scripture. But here's the thing. God wants to touch our heart. He wants to cleanse our heart. And a clean heart will produce good fruit and good work. The fruits of the Spirit of kindness, gentleness, meekness, all that stuff, right? If you haven't come to realize that those fruits are all of the character, okay? It doesn't say, will come from you building temples, feeding homeless, giving out socks, you know what I mean? No, shoveling the old lady's sidewalk next to you when it's snowing. No, because when those character flaws are dealt with and you receive these gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, which are all according to your character, like Christ, these works are going to come natural or supernatural through you. It'll be God working through you. And that's the thing. So we need to know, come to the Lord. He wants to show you things.
It's like, you know, you hear the saying, it will be second nature. And that's what it is. When you're abiding in Christ, it becomes second nature because you have a new nature.
Yeah, there we go. That's going to be the thing for the Scriptures. Because it talks about all that today. What we just talked about, everything, is we're backing up today in Scripture. So here, today we're going to start with Galatians 4. Remember, it's God's plan for unity at the cross. We have to recognize that regardless of our feelings, circumstances, or any of our natural understanding, we are united at the cross through Christ. And he didn't die in vain. Some people ain't going to accept it, but the one to do, this is such a
place. And let me say something real quick. If y'all are watching, whoever's watching, understand that our natural differences, our physical differences, does not matter. The unity is the cross.
It's all at the cross, and we're going to show you that God died and took away that sin. He sent his son now. It's time to accept it and walk in unity with your brothers and sisters and God first. But here it is. Ready? Galatians 4 tells us, but when the right time came, God sent the son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent them to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own son. See, he needs to free us from the law, the sin factor, the thing that separates us from God. And he did this right here, because we were slaves to this,
so that he could adopt us as his son. See, he gave us an opportunity to be united back onto the Father. This is very important for us to understand this. It's not about sin. The sin had to come out of the way. It's really about unity. First on to God, receiving the Spirit in your heart, and then going to loving your brother and sister. So here's what it says. And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Father, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir through Christ. There it is. This is something we need to get a hold of, because this will open up the door of unity. Because when it's about sin, it's about us. Okay, what we've done, our sin. But when it's about the blood of Christ to reunite us, it's about the church, it's about the body, it's about God first and his, what he wants, and then our stuff takes a back seat to what God's trying to do in our lives, right?
Yeah, man, I just love what it says right here, that you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. Man, and when we can get a hold of that, I'm telling you, we talked about this the last, I don't know, whenever it was, but it was during the unity that we're talking about, but the Bible says that faith works by love.
Oh, yes.
And man, I'm telling you, when you understand that how much God loves you, that you're his own child, I mean, that's where your faith is going to rise up, and you're going to trust him, and you're going to be able to call him Abba Father. And,
yeah.
And it's just like daddy,
yeah.
You know?
He's our real father.
Yeah.
He's the only one that he's going to be. So here's the thing that really blew my mind when I really started studying this. He went to the doctor. So he sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Okay. So there's also a second promise. He sent that Spirit of Jesus Christ himself. This is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And we'll also, first we accept the truth at the cross. Then he sends us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which definitely binds us together, because the Spirit fills us our heart with love. Then we're in unity through the Spirit. But we're like skipping these things. We're not realizing that the Holy Spirit, one of his main functions is to testify to the truth that Christ is Lord, then to unify us. Because God knew, obviously, we're going to be different. Right? We're going to have different feelings, different emotions. We're going to have different skin colors. We're going to have different ideals. We're going to have different. But no, he wanted to be sure that we could come to the cross, accept the grace, then walk it out through the Spirit.
Yeah, and when you hear about how, and it happens so often, that, you know, that the Lord will show me something, and then he'll show someone else the same thing. And it's the same Holy Spirit. It's like you're saying, it's when we have the Holy Spirit living in us, it's the same Holy Spirit. So that brings the unity within the body of Christ, and we're all kind of on the same page, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. Now, listen to the Spirit. He's going to prompt us. Like he said, the same Spirit. So, like, we might be hearing it, like, just for instance, on Monday, after I forget what we did on Monday, but we did something with the discipleship home or something. That's why we picked up that man. And then we brought him back. He was cold. So after that, you went your way, like, you had to deal with some stuff with your family. And I said to myself, what am I going to do, God? And all of a sudden, you know, I got to help somebody. So then I made some phone calls, and I found the people in the Spirit that were already getting prepared to help, like James Bellman in his ministry, and Laura Kelly, finding out about their shelter and stuff. So I was getting, the Spirit was dealing with me, go do something, and I found the people that were already, without even talking physically, they were already setting in motion ways to help. You understand? I just connected. And that's the thing. God is good like that. He'll put it on your heart. And if you put it on your heart, I'm sure he put it on other people's hearts.
And it's like James was telling us that day, he was like, man, it's just like people are just showing up.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
I mean, you know, when God's just bringing the body of Christ together, and we just have to get on board with what he's doing, not do what we want to do, but just get on board and get in the flow of what he's already doing.
Yeah.
It's like it's already in motion, like you said.
For that one shelter, which helped about 50 people, all right, there was at least 40 or 50 people at full capacity in a shelter, but there probably was at least, over the 3 days, at least 200 people total that had been through. Some of them stayed the night, went to this one, that one, that was just their landing ground. But we were able to touch on people, spread the good news of Jesus Christ as our Lord, just, you know, share the what he's done at the cross for us, and call them into unity for sure, but also the many people. That place wouldn't have been open if there was one man that didn't show up with the heater because there was no power.
Right.
He got heat. Then the other ministry came and brought the food. Then they were fed. Then, you know, it was like, and then the other ministry came with the snake, and because there was a plumbing issue. And then we got the plumbing issue back on track, or else we got to close down. So the place should have been closed down 10 times in 2 days.
But God. And that's the thing, man. And I always say this to James and Renee as well. She's watching right now. But what I love about that ministry, that homeless ministry, is they're not just feeding people and giving people clothes, which is, you know, the Bible says, what good is it if you tell someone to keep warm and you know, be fed, but don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But what they do is they preach the gospel. They get other people to preach the gospel. So they're not just giving away food. They're not just giving away clothes, but they're giving the good news, which is eternal.
There's a lot of hands and feet out there for Jesus, but there's not as much tongue as we need. And when the hand and feet, how's the tongue going to get there? So we always, again, we're a body. We're one church in Christ, our Lord. But, you know, it takes all of us to come together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And here's what I want to share also here with you. This is in 4, Galatians, and it says, here's what it says. Now, remember, God made you his heir. But if you're an heir, you got to show up and receive that, you know, your entitlement. You're entitled to become children of God. We have the right through Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. But here it says, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to the so-called God. That's the issue here. We're not coming to God because we still got things in our lives. Like I talked about earlier, we didn't fully empty ourselves out of all of our junk to receive everything of God. So we still got little stale water in the bottom of our vessel, and it's sort of permeating and creating a little bit of leaven. Leaven is the whole lump. So, you know, even something, the devil just will pepper a little bit of nonsense into your life and pull you fully away from the things God's trying to do. So it says, these so-called gods did not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say that God knows you, why do you want to go back and become slaves to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? Now, here's what caught my attention. You were slaves, but now that you know God, or should I say that God now knows you? God knows everything. God knows everything. But what this means here, I believe that God knows you. He knows you as his son now because you accepted him. So now, because God knows everybody and everything, but now he knows us and recognizes us as his son when we come to the cross and accept Jesus Christ. And then we start receiving the love of God. Then we start loving our neighbor. And we walk in a unity. So you can't love God truly and receive his love without trying to reach out and walk in unity.
Yeah, and you know, this what really caught me on this was when it says that you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world. Man, that just caught me like, wow, of this world. Because you think about it, the Ten Commandments, the moral laws of God are not weak at all. I mean, they're different. They're talking about the laws that are ceremonial laws and things like that. And it goes on and talks about it. Yeah, you know, the days, months, seasons. And like, you know, and a lot of people say, well, that's, you know, the Sabbath is, you know, that's a law that we're not supposed to abide by and all that. But the Sabbath, that one day a week that God wants us to rest, is for our own good. Every one of the commandments that God gives us is not burdensome. They're for our own good. And when we get a hold of that, we understand that all this other stuff doesn't mean anything.
Absolutely.
You cannot work. I mean, it even says here, you cannot work your way into any kind of favor with God. You can't work your way into the favor, and like going out and doing the trying to help the homeless and all that.
Yeah.
If you're doing it because the love of Christ is pushing you and prompting you to do it, that's awesome. If you're doing it thinking, I'm going to earn favor with God, you're not going to earn favor with God.
No, and like I said earlier, like when I remember the point when I was sitting there, I'm like, what am I going to do now? And all of a sudden, boom, you click and I say, oh, I got to find out what's going on. And I made some phone calls, and my only motivation was to go out and truly help people. I've been done this before.
Yeah.
And I said, what am I doing? I was about to go kick back and watch some sermons on TV. I said, it's been a long time. I've got nothing to do. Snow day, I might as well just kick back and make some hot chocolate and watch some, you know, whoever on Daystar or Netflix or whatever, Pure Friends or something. But then some quick, I said, oh, well, let me go. And I went out. And I'll tell you something, when I went out, my motives was pure and simple. But we got just in the middle of it all, some news people came and they put it on TV, and it was simple, and it wasn't what I was looking for. So the thing is, we don't look for things. We just look to help people. But people recognize what we're doing, and that's how it's been the whole time. Since day one with what I've done, people recognize what he's doing, and they bring you stuff. People recognize what James is doing over at that house, and they came with heaters, they came with food, they came with plumbing equipment. They done whatever it took.
It's the body of Christ. Okay, everyone can't do what James does. But people could come and drop stuff off and then go back to their life like, you know, what they're doing. But that's part of a ministry. That's part of being – it's like we're talking about a family. I'm telling you, in a family, when you're a child, let's say that there's a family that has five kids. Every one of those kids, if the family does their part, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that's what happened. I mean, James, you know, not everyone can do what he does. Not everyone can do what Renee does. Not everyone can do what you do.
Yeah.
But people can come and do what they can do. And when they do that, the body of Christ is coming together, every part functioning in what that they do. And it's found you don't have to work your way into the favor. Just get in the flow of it. Do what you can do at that time.
Yeah, exactly. This is not like, and I really want everyone to focus on this. Talks about, you know, don't go back to the principles of this world, the religious system. Oh, you know, and I'm not going to mention denomination, but I belong to a denomination. I was raised up with a very religious, you know, when I say religious, it's not in a good way. The routine. It was by works that we were saved.
Rituals. Yeah.
So, all right, go out and do whatever you want, but as long as you show up to church on Sunday, throw some money in the box, say, God forgive me, and say 10 Hail Marys and a couple of Our Fathers, you were fresh to go out again. Fresh to go and start over for the Monday night football game. Okay? So I was like repentant for like 5 hours from Sunday to Monday. So here's the thing. That's not the life we choose to live, because the works ain't going to save us. There's nothing I can do, Bobby, do, anyone watch can do to earn your grace. Okay? But again, the good works are going to come. But don't, the good works are not going to cleanse your heart by no means. But from the clean heart, the good works will be produced. It's got to start on the inside. But
yeah.
Then, what Jesus said, you're the whitewashed tomb, or you're that clean cup on the outside, but filthy on the inside. And there's a lot of that going on. I want to warn you that please come to the Lord and surrender your heart. And it ain't about Facebook. It's not about TV news. It's not about, you know, nothing, but God sees everything. And,
yeah.
he blesses it.
And when I was studying this, I wrote a couple of notes here. And one is the Ten Commandments turned into two commandments. The slave to sin or slave to righteousness, bondage or freedom, flesh or spirit. In Galatians 5, if you go to Galatians 5, it says, do not be entangled again to that yoke of bondage. And that means to be held or caught. And see, it's like we just talked about. When you're abiding in Christ, you're not held or caught. He changes your desires on the inside. And I realized, like in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth, and he said that he was determined to know nothing at all except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We're talking about unity here at the cross. And he's telling the Galatian church the same thing, that we can have differences in our ethnicity, we can have differences of culture, but unity comes when we all know Jesus Christ and him crucified, and the cross becomes our common bond.
Good morning, Atlanta. Sal Gilly. Good morning, sir. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah. The thing is this.
Good morning.
The thing is this. It's. I've been on both sides. That's why I'm pressing into this, because I'm talking from the experience what God has revealed to me, where I was just, you know, walking. I was walking sort of in his path, but with my own swagger. You know what I mean? I was just, no, God wants to show you. And it's not about anything but coming to the Lord first. Let him produce these works in your heart, from the clean heart, from the heart that's full of love, shaped by the Holy Spirit, abroad in your heart. These good things are produced. Like you said, Ten Commandments came down to two.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe even 600 that, or 400 that the actual law they made up. But
well, they did. But I'm telling you, God had Ten Commandments. Jesus changed it to two. That if you do the two, it'll fulfill all of them.
Love.
You know, and yeah, love God with everything you've got, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Here's the thing. God loves us all the same, okay? It don't matter if you fed somebody or you helped somebody. It don't matter if you gave a liver transplant, you know, or a kidney or something. God don't love you any more or any less, okay? But here's the thing. That's why the first commandment is love God with all your heart. The problem is, the issue falls with us, our love for God. If we don't come to love God with everything we got, God's love never changed for us. But guess what? Our love changed for him. Now we're ready to receive. We receive his love, then we start receiving that cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to come in and change it all. We could prepare. The Word will renew the mind and cleanse our heart. The Holy Spirit will fill it, take the junk out, and show us the things we need to deal with.
And the thing about it is love, true love. We've all heard of true love. You cannot have true love without truth. I mean, that's the thing. True love has to be in truth. We have to be speaking the truth in love, and we have to know the truth. And that's the only thing that's going to set anybody free is to know the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. So we have to know him to know love. And when we know him, we know the truth, and then we can speak the truth in love.
Well, yeah, if you're not speaking the truth, then chances are you don't have love.
You have love for yourself. If you're not speaking the truth, you're only concerned about what people think about you.
Man, that's the truth. It's important to know that these are certain things, these little things, if we were able to break them down to resist what the devil's trying to put in our heart and submit to God. It's so simple. Submit to God. God, what is it you want to show me today, Lord? Is there anything in my heart? God, not what you could give me, God, but what, God, can you take away from me today? Because I know there's something that needs to come out of my heart. You know what I mean?
Change me.
Man, change me, Lord. Cause me to walk in your ways. Ask the Lord to change your heart of the things that are not profitable for his kingdom. And he will. I assure you, that's the promise and our prayer that God's waiting to answer for all of us. He's like, when are you going to ask me to take something from you? Stop asking me for rent money, a new car, a new girlfriend, a new husband. No. Tell me to take something from you.
And he'll show you quick, too, because the Bible says that he who has begun a good work in me will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're all, what is it Laura says?
Learning, knowing, and growing.
Yeah. We're all a work in progress, and sometimes we'll get to a point where we think, you know, all right, we've arrived or whatever, but, man, I'm telling you, we have not arrived, and thank God we haven't, because when we're going to know him as he is, when it's all said and done, we're going to be in paradise, and then we're going to know him as he is, and we're going to be like him, the Bible says.
Yeah, we see a different reflection of things to come, but I'll tell you one thing, we will know when we stand before him. And again, just don't try to figure it out in your own mind. Probably three, five, or six, the Lord will put them off. Just acknowledge God in everything you're doing, and you don't have to try to figure it out. He'll show you.
Yeah.
It's real simple.
And the Bible says in Revelation, I believe it is, that he will, it doesn't say there's no tears in heaven, but there's not going to be, because the Bible says he will wipe away every tear from your eyes. And man, I mean, I believe that we're gonna look at him with such reverent awe, and just like we're gonna see him as he is, and we're just gonna cry tears of thinking, you know, what could have been, but he's gonna wipe that away and say, look, don't worry about that. You're here now, and we're in paradise. But man, just to realize, if we could ever understand how much God wants for us now.
See, again, I'm going to move in that truth, but this is one thing I want to point out, because it says in verse 10 in Galatians 4:10, you are trying to earn favor with God. Okay, that's part of this religious system that he was talking about. It was part of the Jewish religion, those 600 laws or 400 laws, whatever, that started at 10 and everyone started to add a new law. Everyone thought they figured it out. Oh, yeah, you got to wash your hands. You got to do this. Look, God, obviously Jesus came and set that record straight. He broke it down to two. He didn't want to put a burden on us. So that's the thing. All you need to know is don't get caught up in the principles of this world system. And more importantly, the religious system. You just know that, just seek God. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then once you do that, he'll start filling your heart. And you're going to be loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So just know that. Just know that God wants to release you and free you from this bondage of religious duties. You know, and as well. So don't get caught up in it.
And in Galatians 5, it says, since Christ has set us free, stay free.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what pretty much saying there, too. Stay free. Stop going back to the principles of this world. That was the issue. We are prone to try to work our way. We don't understand grace. See, it's not what, you know, we can do for God. It's what God already done for us through Jesus Christ. And all we got to do, and this is the problem, learn how to be good receivers.
And it's like this, when we all have done this, or we all are doing this, or whatever, but we get to the point where we think, you know, we've got to do this, we've got to be holy, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. But it's not that. You don't have to worry. If you're going to abide in Christ, you don't have to worry about sin anymore. Because when you abide in Him, His Holy Spirit, Ezekiel, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible, when God said, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my ways. He's the one who does it. We just have to surrender, but we do have to seek Him.
Yeah.
And when you diligently seek God, He rewards you, and the reward is Him. And His Spirit living in us will cause us to walk in His ways. And you don't have to worry about it.
Amen. That's right. So know that.
That's freedom.
Yeah, I think we're ready. What is it?
Yeah, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I was going to read this in a different translation, but, man, I'm telling you, I looked this word up, terror. And the word is phobos. And it's where we get our word phobia.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And here it is. It says, knowing, therefore. The reason it says, therefore, is because in verse 10, it says that we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, He's talking to the church right here. But the Bible says that it's appointed for man once to die and after that to judgment. So we talked about you can't have true love without speaking the truth. And so the truth is that we're all going to stand in judgment, every one of us. If you're a believer, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and the Bible says that we're going to be judged for what we've done in the body, whether it's good or bad. And if you're not a believer, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. So, man, I'm telling you, knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. And I want to say this. We just talked about Abba, Father. Okay, so God is our Father. So, and it just reminds me so much of how my mom used to tell me, you know, we've been working a lot together at the discipleship house, and you talked a lot about your earthly father.
Yeah.
You know, about his work ethic, and he just, I mean, I never knew him, but he reminds me of a man who would discipline his children.
Oh, yeah.
Because he loved his children. And it's the same with my dad. My mom used to tell me, wait until your daddy gets home.
Yeah.
And then that's the same thing. God, the Bible says He disciplines those that He loves. So understand this. The terror here is a reverent fear. It's not I'm scared. I was never scared of my dad. My earthly father, I was never scared of him, but I was scared of when I did wrong. I was scared, you know. Like my mom said, wait until your daddy gets home.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But that's what it means.
Yeah.
Anyway, it says, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we recite ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us.
Yeah.
The love of Christ prompts us to do what He wants us to do. Because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all. Man, get that in your spirit, man.
Yeah.
We cannot look at people according to the flesh anymore.
Yeah.
But we have to look at people according to the spirit. God died. Jesus died for everyone. For God so loved the world. So you can't judge people by appearance. You can't judge people by where they're at. You have to understand that Jesus Christ died for everyone. We read in that first scripture, when the fullness of time had come,
right.
He died at the time when the death penalty was the most horrific. So it doesn't matter what anyone has done. Jesus paid that price. Amen?
Yeah, exactly.
For we are beside ourselves. For the love of Christ compels us, and that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. Think about that. Now all things are of God. When you understand you're born again, a child of God, all things are of God now, and He puts His Spirit in us, and He does the work in us, and who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and get this, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This is not the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. This is anyone who is born again has a ministry of reconciliation. If you ever wanted to be in full-time ministry, if you're born again, you are in full-time ministry.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I want to talk about this scripture right here. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus didn't just take away our sin. He became sin. The Bible said he was unrecognizable. And you think about it. You're talking about when we're on the streets and someone receives a free gift of salvation, you look at them before.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like down, they're depressed, they look like the demons have a hold of them. And when they are born again, their whole countenance changes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's like when Pastor Eric and I were talking about this one time, and how that Jesus was unrecognizable, not only because of the beating that he took, not only because of the pulling the beard out. It wasn't the physical. He was unrecognizable because he took on the sin of the world. He became sin for us. Okay. And when you understand that, it's he walked sinless. He made him who knew no sin become sin. So it's just the opposite. Yeah. When someone receives Jesus Christ, their countenance changes. Jesus took the sin, so he was sinless. His countenance was perfect. And then he took that sin, and he was unrecognizable because he took on the sin of the world, man. And that's why that kind of love right there will make us plead with people, be reconciled to God.
See, here's the thing. We make it our passion to persuade others. I'm looking at passion translation. Paul said, look, we receive this stuff from God, this love. We receive this great grace. And he said, we make it our passion to go after other people, to bring other souls into the kingdom. That's part of unity. It's like in the world, we go in a party, we want to invite everyone that we knew to come. We got a keg, we got six kegs at the hill, come on, come with us. You know what I mean? No, the same thing, this is a greater party. This is the wedding feast that we're all going to be part of. It's Jesus Christ. We pull him in. We want him to be part of this. We want to reconcile him. See, that ministry, of reconciliation. This is what it says in the Passion. In other words, it was through the Jesus Christ that God was shepherding the world. Verse 19. Okay, see, this is what it is because we read 2 weeks ago. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. Remember? The house divided will never stand, right? That scripture we read about unity when the Pharisees were coming to tell Jesus he was casting out demons in Beelzebub. Okay, now here's the thing. Right now, God is shepherding the world through Jesus Christ, what he did at the cross. They're shepherding the world. We're bringing them all back into the fold, into the gate. The gate, who's the gate? Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the gate. I'm the shepherd. Okay, now it's our obligation as we receive Christ. Because here's what it says, that ministry is upon us, but also we are ambassadors of Christ. We carry this message, right? We're not messengers. We are ambassadors that convey this message. We're above messengers. We are ambassadors, meaning that we're not just, remember the telegram, and the guy would hand the telegram, blow a whistle or something and leave back in the old days? No, we are to walk out this message. We're to be living evidence. We're to be living the truth, walking it out. And then we also are telling other people about it.
Yeah, when you understand what an ambassador is, it's like if you're an ambassador from the United States and living in another country, you have the same rights as a United States citizen in that country. We're citizens from heaven. And I'm telling you, when you're an ambassador, you don't only have the authority of heaven. I'm telling you, he gives us that authority of heaven. And so when we come in and we tell people, we're not just telling them as a human being, we're telling them as an ambassador from heaven. Be reconciled to God, and you're pleading with them because God gives us free will. So you plead with them. Look, if you only knew the grace of God, if you only knew the love of God, if you only knew the love of God, you would understand. And that's where faith comes from, is knowing the love of God. And when you have that, we are the body of Christ, the children of God, are on a mission to go in there and rescue the prisoners of war from the clutches of the enemy. And when we do that, it doesn't matter if we're black, white, brown, Muslim. It doesn't. None of that matters, because we're one body, one church, and we go in there with that authority as an ambassador of Christ. Then that's when the power of God comes in, and I'm telling you, man.
Turn back to God and be reconciled to Him. That's what it says in verse 20. We're ambassadors, all right? So here's the thing. We're ambassadors, so we're responsible.
And understand, we have that authority
God gave us free will, but you know what the free will is? To accept His way. Let me tell you something. You make any more of it, it's going to be more. It's a free will to accept His way. We have to choose God's way and walk in it. That's as simple as it gets.
But see, what Paul's talking about right here to the church is he's talking about the body of Christ. He's saying, look, we're ambassadors, and we plead with the lost. That's what he's saying. We're pleading with the lost. Be reconciled to God, your creator. Be reconciled to your creator.
Yeah.
And when you he's pleading with them. He's begging them. You know, because, I mean, it's like the guy said, you Christians don't really believe what you say you do. Well, what do you mean? Well, if you really believe there was a real, literal hell, you would be telling everyone. Paul's saying, look, you're begging people, be reconciled to your creator. God loves you.
Of course, the love of Christ that compels us,
right,
to go and do the things that we do. It's not because of anything else but the love of Christ. That's our ultimate motivation. That's the foundation we stand on, Jesus Christ. So we go out and we're ambassadors for God. We were to do the things that God asked us to do. Okay, so we empty ourselves of all our nonsense. That's one of the first steps of how we do this. We got to empty ourselves of all our nonsense and the stuff that we think we know. We don't know. I'm here to tell you, you don't know. We don't know. We only know what God gives us and the way He leads us. He don't give us a 10-week itinerary. He don't, because that. Then we walk away from Him, okay? He wants to keep us close to Him, and this is how He does it. We need to seek Him every day. We empty ourselves of all things that go against God or exalt itself against the Word of God, the truth. Then, all of a sudden now, we're walking in faith. That's the thing. The faith is incredible. We need to have this faith. We get this faith by studying the Word, seeking God, praying to God. Then we get a spiritual breakthrough where all of a sudden our hearts clean. Then we go out there. And we watch how we get a spiritual. We don't go with our natural eyes and ears. We start evaluating others in a spiritual perspective. We don't see sinners, drug addicts, thieves, crackheads, alcoholics, fornicators. We see a soul. There's an opportunity to lead them back to the Lord and let that stuff all be broken off of them and come partake in what Jesus Christ done for us at the cross and become a brother or a sister to us in Christ, spiritually. It's a spiritual bond. We got to sort of, And this only comes by seeking it. If you want to go out there and hand out Bibles and sandwiches and call people sinners, that's fine. I don't know how far you're going to get. But here's the thing. We need to tell them the truth and let them make the decision to come back to the Lord.
The truth is that the devil has people in bondage. And we're to tell them, to plead with them, look, you don't have to be in bondage. I mean, we can tell them by experience. I mean, I was in bondage for 30 plus years in alcohol and drugs, so I can tell them the truth of it is that Jesus Christ will set you free. When you know Him, you know the truth that you know will set you free, and He'll set you completely free.
Yeah.
Not partially free, completely free.
Yeah, exactly. And so if we're gonna, God's gonna count there. Trespass, transgression, their sin, and iniquity, and throw it out and forget it. Why do we think we're going to hold on to it? Okay? And keep reminding them. No, let them know that they're new creation. We just read it. You're a new creation in Christ. All things of God, if you allow them. But sometimes we're dragging mud back in.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So all things are new in Christ. We now become ambassadors. We receive that reconciliation ministry in our heart. That, man, we got to tell somebody how good this is and how good God is. And that's how this happens. It's not like, man, I'm going to try to make time to go out, find time to go out and tell somebody. And my goal is to tell one person this month. If you start setting these human goals or these plateaus, start with one. But see how many God will show you.
Yeah, He'll show you a lot. But here's the thing. The gospel is the good news, and it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And the goodness of God is the fact that we don't have to live in that bondage. We don't have to live in the shackles of defeat. We don't have to live in the shackles of poverty. We don't have to live in the shackles of sickness and disease. We don't have to live in the shackles of addiction. That's what the devil wants. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And that is the good news. The good news is when we say, look, Lord, I don't want to do it my way anymore. I surrender to you. And when you do that, I'm telling you, it's like, it's just like we read. You become a new creation, a new species of being. You're not even normal anymore, thank God.
Yeah, but you got to receive that by faith. A lot of us don't think that because that's why we don't receive the fullest. Because by faith, we believe a lie that your mama told you or your cousin or your ex-girlfriend or someone you used to party with. Come on now, you're still the same old cokehead, Eddie, that we snorted coke for the last 20 years together. Come on, I got the first $50. Let's get high. You know, they're obviously like, no, I'm not. I'm a different person. But they try to drag you back into the mud. You know that. That's why you need to get away from the mud. See, here's the thing. We gave them a full freedom, but we're turning ourselves in on weekends, some of us, to bondage again. You know what I'm talking about. Because we're living good from Monday to Friday, but then the weekend comes, and it's like what I had to turn myself in for the weekend. Jail to pay the price. I had to turn myself in. So we turn ourselves in. You know how we turn ourselves in? Because on the way home from work, we're stopping at the liquor store, stopping at the weed dealer, the coke dealer. We're like, ooh, we've done this all week. We were good. Now we deserve this. Nobody got mercy from God. We know that. We don't even deserve that. So let's start off with that stuff because it's important, man. You change your attitude. You ain't going to be able to change your life. And God can't change your heart if you don't start changing your attitude towards things.
One of my favorite examples of the new creation is when Augustine, he was I don't know what he was exactly. He was a saint, Saint Augustine, in the 300s. And he was a womanizer and a drunkard before he was born again. And after he was born again, he was walking down the street, and a woman, one of his ex-girlfriends, saw him and said, Augustine, Augustine. And he kept walking. And she said, Augustine, Augustine, it is I. And he turned around and looked at her dead in the eye, and he said, but it is not I.
Yeah.
You have to understand that old man is dead. Hallelujah. When you understand that, the old man is dead. You're a brand new creation in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
Man, I'm telling you, and you just abide in him, seek him with all you got. I'm telling you, it's not worth anymore.
Here it is in Ephesians, and this will bring it all together for us. Ephesians 2, read the whole chapter, and you'll get a really good understanding of things. I recommend it to people meditate on it. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. But in those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God, without hope. But now you've been united with Jesus Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So see, now you are brought back. He ain't even talking about the sin and all that stuff. He's saying you were brought back because this sin was dealt with. We got to stop being so sin conscious. Because sin conscious, again, it's about us. It's us focusing on us. Focus on God and this sin. It's going to break off like barnacles on a ship. As you got something moving faster, the barnacles break off. As you accelerate in the things of God, the consciousness, I don't wake up and say, Lord, keep me from sin. No, I wake up and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. If God is in your heart, you have a healthy relationship, you're seeking him in the morning, you're seeking him, whatever you need to seek him, you're seeking him in the evening, you're putting time aside, you're praying, you're reading, studying the Bible, the sin, it ain't coming to you. It's so far away. Believe me, that's the true deliverance. That's the true bondage that we were free from.
Yeah.
Even being conscious of this junk, it starts to worry you. You're not worried about stuff. I don't have to worry that, I'm going to fall off again. I'm going to go to the bar this weekend. Man, it was snowing. No, my car broke down. I've got to probably go get some drugs to fix my broken heart. No, let me tell you something. This is ridiculous. Just focus on God, and then these things will start. happening for you, I assure you. Because here it is. We have now been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. We're reunited. You can't be near to somebody or close with somebody or walk with someone unless you're reconciled back onto him and united. Because we were once enemies of God. We were once enemies of God, but now we're not. If we accept Christ, the barriers were broken down. Jesus took that sin. He became sin, took it away. We don't have to deal with it no more. It's already been dealt with. That's what I'm saying. We're dead to sin. What does that mean? Acknowledge Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be dead to sin. Not necessarily, that don't mean we're never going to sin again. It means that we will be dead to it. That we ain't going to have to worry about it. Just like, oh, that person's dead to me. Look, we've got the power to escape this stuff. But here's what it tells us. But Christ himself brought peace to us. This is not the peace. This is the peace where it's a peace treaty. Okay? He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. And he did it with his own body at the cross. Okay? He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. So not only did he bring us back to God, but he also united us with other believers. Now we're brothers and sisters in one spirit, one mind, one body, one hope, one baptism. We're all one now. We're grafted in. Okay. He broke down the wall of hostility to separate us. He did this by ending the system of the law. This defines it all. He did it by ending the system of the law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jew and Gentile by creating in himself one new people, one new race, one new nation, one together as one body. Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death at the cross. See, there it is. It's not about the sin. The sin had to go. It was part of it. But it's truly about us being reconciled. Now, when we come to realize this message, it comes in our heart. That's when we're going to start walking in the unity. We're going to realize it wasn't just about me and my sin. It was about getting it out of the way so now it can be recognized, reconciled back to God and back to my brother and sister. God, we're all God's creation, even the ones that are lost. We need to know this, so we have to be reconciled back to God, or we're no good to anyone else.
Man, and I'm telling you, when you said that, it just reminded me how the Lord showed me when he delivered me. I mean, delivered me from alcohol and drugs, like just delivered me. There's no desire. It's gone. It's been over 10 years. But what he showed me was he had to get that out of the way to deal with my heart.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
And I'm telling you, man, that is the ultimate freedom.
My heart was laminating with cocaine, fornication, lying, stealing drugs. This stuff hardens our heart. Sin separates us from God, and it hardens our heart. But man, when that glimmer of light breaks through, some God always gives us a chance. He lets that glimmer of light break through something, and all of a sudden you're like, what? And then you see that light, that glimmer. It's just a little bit of light. But the hearing thing, when you see it, don't be afraid, but walk towards it with as your life depends on it, because it does. And as you're walking towards light, it's going to get brighter and brighter, and eventually you're walking towards hell, walking in it. Thank you, Blog Radio listeners, for tuning in today. Share the video. Share the sermon. If it helps you, I pray the Lord bless you. If you're not walking in unity with brothers and sisters, receive the free gift that God has for you, the price he paid. Get that sin out of the way. Throw it in the dumpster. Get rid of it once and for all. Now, you're free to walk with your brothers and sisters and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And again, if you don't know Jesus Christ, fall on him right now. Don't even wait till next time. Fall on him right now. We thank you for listening. We're going to finish up here with you and Michael and Facebook, I guess. Right?
Yeah. You know, and it's so, you know, it says right here that he himself has brought us peace. But I love what the King James says, that he is our peace.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is our peace, man. Right. And when we all come to that unity, it says that in verse 12, having no hope and without God in the world, you don't have to be without him. I'm telling you, because now in Christ Jesus, when we're born again, he is our peace. And when we all come to that unity of the faith, when we all look unto Jesus, we're looking at the sin, we're looking at the counterfeit, and look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and understand he is our cornerstone.
He is our chief cornerstone. We're the body.
Oh, yeah.
He's the head. We're the body. I'm telling you, when we come to that unity right there, the unity of the faith, the unity of the faith is knowing Jesus Christ, knowing Him,
yeah,
the author and perfecter of our faith. Then we become disciples, and we start discipling other people, man. And I'm telling you, and realizing that we're from another kingdom. I'm telling you, man, when we get a hold of that fact, man, that we're all together, and when we get that unity, I'm telling you, we need the church to come out of the closet. You know, the LGBT, they've got more unity sometimes in the church than
they do.
But I'm telling you, it's changing right now, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're coming together, one body, I'm telling you, one faith, and it's just going to be so amazing.
He brought the good news of peace to you, Jesus Christ, to the Gentiles who will fall away, right? Now it says, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit. Don't you understand that Holy Spirit is the agent that cleanses us out, that fills us with love? If we're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we're not walking, being led by the Spirit, there's no chance of, because the Spirit brings life. So there's no chance of you being born again if you're not being led by the Spirit. Because those who are led by the Spirit are children of God.
That's right.
So here's the thing. So now, we're no longer strangers or foreigners. We're citizens of with God, holy people. Now we're a nation. Remember God said, I'll make you the father of a great nation. It's not necessarily a physical, a geographical location, this nation. It's a spiritual location in your heart where you let God in. We're a nation with a God. We're citizens of heaven. We're ambassadors, right? So we're citizens now as we receive this. We're heirs. And here's what it tells us. We are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That's Christ coming in the flesh, God in the flesh. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. He's building, the analogy or the parable of, God's building his church. As we see a physical building, but Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and we're the bricks he's laying.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So here it is. We are being made part of this dwelling where God lives in his Spirit. This is not a physical church. This is a church, a spiritual church. It says it right here. God lives by his Spirit. So this is, again, a spiritual understanding of what God's trying to do with us through the cross. And he's trying to unite us through Christ in one Spirit. Okay? So we need to come to him.
Yeah, and that guy, there's like the guy yesterday, Will Ford, I believe his name was. Man, what an awesome message on unity. And it's like we were talking about earlier, it's the same Holy Spirit. You know, he was talking about unity, we're talking about unity. The body of Christ coming together, the snowstorm that happened, the body of Christ came together, you know, all the different ministries coming together, and coming together with the head being Jesus Christ. And we're his body. We're his hands and feet. And I'm telling you, man, it's just awesome to be a part of it and to watch it. Because it says right here that we are members of God's family.
If you choose.
Yeah. Members of God's family. And thing about it is, when it's like we talk about the chores. When a child has a chore, you know, one thing that is good about teaching a child about and having an allowance is because you know, you can teach them, you know, one thing you can teach them is about tithing. You know, you give a child $5 and understand that 50 cents of that goes to the kingdom. And you can teach a child on tithing. But one thing that I think is even a better lesson is to know that everybody in the family does their part. You know, I mean, your father tells you to go mow the yard, and you say, well, what are you going to pay me? Well, you get to live here. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, understand that you're a family, and that everyone in the family comes together and does their part.
That's right. So here's the thing. Unity is critical. I'm sure that you can be walking with God if you're not walking in unity. Because how could you walk together if they agree? You can first agree with God, what he says, what his word says. Let your faith rise up. Let him deal with the things in your heart that are separating you from the fullness of the grace he has in your life. And then walk it out. And you will be in unity with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and also others in the flesh, where we will be doing things as ambassadors to form this, to be part of this ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah, and you know, the Lord, I want to share this. The Lord gave this to me as I was studying this. Biblical unity will bring spiritual maturity. We, as the body of Christ, are not supposed to be needy. We're supposed to be meeting the needs of the hurting world out there. And when we get a hold of that, I'm telling you, it's just going to be amazing.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Today. We pray, Lord, right now in your mighty name, Jesus Christ. But thank you for this message of unity, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for this time that we have fellowship with you, Lord, in your word, Lord, as your word is a lamp upon our feet. And as we read your word, the Spirit will give us witness to the truth of your word. Our faith will rise up. We will feel the love in your heart, Lord. Spread this love abroad, Lord, to all your children, Lord. Allow us to be out there looking for the ones that are ready to come to you, Lord, that we bring them in, Lord. Help us minister to these people, Lord. Help us touch upon their lives. Lord, let your Holy Spirit draw them closer to you, Lord. God, thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us, all the provision, and all the wisdom and understanding, Lord. And we thank you for this message. We thank you for this message. We pray it goes forth. We know it'll never come back forth. We touch those, Lord, that need to be touched. And we praise you, Jesus, and we pray in your mighty name. If you like what you heard, you think it'll help somebody, share it. Thank you for watching. We love you.
And if anyone's out there and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says to call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Call on him right now.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day and tune in tomorrow. I believe the original man morning at the mansions with Marlo Mosey will be here tomorrow. I'm not sure about Lord Kelly, but I'm sure Marlo will be here. Thank you for watching.
God bless y'all. Video.
Bless y'all. In 2 weeks. So we're gonna
you wanna go grab some lunch
real quick? Well, let me see if my load down she was supposed to be quick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if not, because my hands are a mess, man. I've been
no,
yeah, where you at? No, I haven't even, you know,
I get my cut in the so I can miss a couple days.
Yeah, he's the guy with the top, right?
That's him. Yeah.
Oh, good.
But
not that good, but you know what I mean? I don't know. My brother has a house up there too, for this summer home or something, whatever. But the thing is nice, you know,
yeah. In
certain areas. You still
work
in Philadelphia.
It's
disgusting.
But yeah,
maybe if
I'm gonna find
out.
I mean, I don't know if you need them, but I mean, we get an habit. Oh, it's a stranger. Well,
I think
but I'm going to, I'm going to go to the house. 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 I'm going